And of course, our very own Ryan Burrow is reporting from an area where hopefully people are safe. I don't know. I haven't read as many updates. We've been doing a lot of work here, and it's strange to know that so many people are in chaos mode. They are in disaster mode down there.
Because of Hurricane Florence. Yeah. And Ryan, I think, just got there today, too. So
you are in Norfolk, Virginia. Is that right, Ryan?
Yeah, this is, you know, the area of Southeast Virginia where there's a lot of military families. There's a lot of population, and while this area is not going to be directly hit, we don't believe, by Hurricane Florence, it's definitely going to take in a lot of water, especially around the ports, and so there's a lot of concern about flooding. There's a lot of concern about evacuations in an area where there is so much water around, and they've also released all the ships and the air wings from the bases to try to get them cleared out of the space as quickly as possible before the storm hits.
I have friends who live in Winston-Salem, Ryan, and they have been boarding up, a childhood friend of mine, and we've been texting, and she's like, we're boarding up, you know, we're getting ready. But I've gotten these texts from her in the past with Sandy, with Katrina. So, I mean, she's been through the storm before. What is it about this storm that makes, we were doing the numbers last night, well, Pandy and I were talking about, that we haven't seen a hurricane of this strength in North Carolina since, I think it was like Eisenhower. I mean, it was that long ago. Huh. So what is it about this storm and the Carolinas, Ryan?
Exactly. And, you know, they were able to get ahead of this very early. And they knew pretty much once the storm formed off the West African coast that this could be potentially dangerous. And they've had to clear a lot of population. Think about this. 1.7 million people in the way of this. And this is in Florida. It's not just going to kind of buzzsaw. This is going to hit the United States eastern coast and then basically just sit there and soak. We saw something very, very similar with Hurricane Harvey. It didn't actually hit Houston. What it did was it kind of spun up to Houston and just continued to soak Houston for days and days and days. And that's the fear here. You've got South Carolina, North Carolina, Virginia, and then it's just going to trail up north. I know the Cubs were trying to reschedule that game against the Nationals Thursday. I don't know how that's even going to happen. I mean, the system is just going to continue to work its way up through the mid-Atlantic. So, you know, that's very concerning. Now, Norfolk's expected to get about 10 inches. And get this, this is the first year they've instituted something called Know Your Zone. And apparently, if you're in Zone A, which is right along the coastline, think about along Lake Michigan shores. You know how we always see flooding in that area, especially along Lakeshore Drive and maybe up to Winnetka and Evanston? It's very similar to that. But what they're doing is they're telling people, okay, you're in Zone A. You need to evacuate. If you're in Zone B, maybe you're a couple neighborhoods away, you don't need to evacuate. And they're trying to do that as a way to alleviate some of the congestion of people trying to get out and also trying to free up some of the evacuation shelters because, you know, if you're in Zone B and you're safe, you don't need to be staying at a school. We need this for the A people.
Wow.
That sounds like a remarkable way to make sure people know where they are, because sometimes you're traveling, you know, and I'm not sure if they're using like alerts on people's phones, you know, like here, you know, there's some way that they're able to communicate that. How was that something that they've been doing in the days ahead? Or is that just in general that people know where their zones are, educating them about where they are?
It's actually brand new. It started last year here in Virginia. And, you know, they've done a lot of research on hurricanes. And, you know, what we saw happen in Houston is people may have been fine in their home. Their home was on a hill, but maybe they've got small children and the road was flooded. Well, they went and rescued all of those people because they figured, well, those people are going to need to get out. What they've done here is told people, look, we need you to have enough rations for 72 hours. All right. If you have enough rations and you can self-sustain for 72 hours, you should be in a good enough position where if you are in some kind of trouble or you are in a flooded out roadway, we can get to you. But we need you to get that 72 hours. And so today I went to Walmart. I went to the big grocery chain here is Food Lion. Mm-hmm. I went to Target. Water is sold out. I mean, you cannot buy water. Batteries are a problem to get right now. Gas cans, very, very difficult. At Target, the bread, completely gone. So people are definitely heeding the warning. They're buying the cat food, the dog food, the baby diapers. And, you know, think of it like a snowstorm in Chicago. You know, people are getting ready. But it was amazing. I went to all these locations, could not find one thing of water. So I ended up getting LaCroix and some Gatorade. So
there you go. Stay hydrated. Exactly, right?
Electrolytes.
Ryan, you filed a story earlier today, which I found very interesting as well. The Navy has ordered all of the ships that are based in Norfolk. I think you said there were 30. They've ordered them back out to sea?
Yeah, yeah. The USS Abraham Lincoln, the USS George H.W. Bush, they said, get them out. Clear them out of here. There are some ships, actually, that are on the piers that have mechanical failures or whatever, and they're just going to basically dock them and hope for the best. But, yeah, they wanted to get them cleared out. There's some expensive American hardware right there. They don't want to mess around with that.
Do you have a handle on some of the – well, that is incredible, too.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that because of how much military personnel we have. We want to make sure that it's coordinated in a way that we continue to not only keep them safe, but obviously keep our shore safe.
Right.
Do you have a handle on how the evacuations are going in other parts? I've heard that the governor, was it of North Carolina, there were certain areas where he was telling people to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got these kind of like barrier islands along North Carolina. Those people were cleared out. In fact, I was on the flight from O'Hare to Virginia with a couple from Hatteras Island, and a young couple, and the husband is a kite surf instructor, and they live on this island, and he told me that they can't even go back. They had to cut their trip short from Chicago.
Wow.
So that they could get back to the airport in Norfolk so that they could pick up their car and then head to South Carolina where his family is.
Wow.
So he said that they had a neighbor who went and picked up a bunch of documents at their home, and he'll find those documents when they get back. His neighbor's going to keep us safe, but they went through and cleared out the entire neighborhood while they were on vacation.
Boy.
Are you getting a sense, too, of folks that are just sort of like, they're going to hunker down and ride this out? Are there, because it seems like every single storm, there are people, you know, who think, well, I've been through this before, I'll be fine this time, too.
You've got a couple people. And the flood zones, I think, kind of give people a little more ease. If you're in flood zone B or C, maybe you feel a little bit better. Where I'm at, they're going to get 10 inches. I'm in one of those A zones, and I talked with the hotel staff here to see, you know, are we clear? Are we gonna be evacuated at all? And they didn't think so. And in fact, one of the things that we look at, you know, this is my second hurricane that I've covered, Midwest boy. This is kind of new to me, but
sure.
Parking in a lot that's actually on an incline instead of one that's, you know, under a hotel.
Huh.
Because when those waters start to rise, you know, you don't want your rental car or your car in general to be underwater, right? So they're actually downtown Norfolk right now. They're allowing people, they've opened up all the garages for people to park their cars so that they can be on higher ground if maybe their home is in one of these flood zones. So that's one of the preparations they're making that's kind of interesting. And, you know, you talk to people, and most people are like, I think we'll be fine. It's just going to be some rain. And, you know, for some people it will be fine. But as the governor of North Carolina and Virginia have all said, I mean, this will likely be deadly in one form or another. And it's usually the flooding that causes the death.
You be safe, Ryan. This is expected. This, according to the National Hurricane Center, they just released this, which I know you've been keeping tabs on this all day, Ryan. It'll make landfall tomorrow morning, possibly overnight at the very earliest. With sustained wind speeds now 150 miles an hour.
Mm. Yeah.
So you be careful out there.
And it's going to continue to spiral and throw that water everywhere. And that's one of the big concerns. Because once it hits land, it doesn't have the fuel anymore, but it still has all that water. And so it's just going to keep throwing that all over the Carolinas and Virginia.
Safe. And a million people have been told to evacuate, too. The idea of everybody trying to figure out a route.
Where to go, yeah.
Yeah, where to go.
Because they're all heading, obviously, inland.
Right. Yeah, that's just
so
staggering.
Sure.
Party in Florida.
There you go. There you go, Ryan. You be safe.
Thank you so much. Get some rest, will you? I know that you've got a lot to do, and Ryan will be checking in with the shows throughout the day tomorrow as well.
Yes, absolutely. Ryan never sleeps. Ryan has, I'm going to out you, Ryan. You do such a great job. You have a little suitcase that just sits here in the newsroom, and when they call him to go.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
I didn't know that was his.
So we can go through that. We'll fill it with some chocolates for you, Ryan.
Yeah, exactly.
I left that suitcase. I actually went home and brought a different suitcase. Don't go through that suitcase.
Okay, right. Don't open it. Don't open it.
The funny thing about that suitcase is that I've got to start swapping that stuff out because those are summer clothes.
Oh, there you go.
I never know where I'm going to get set at any given time. It could be Minnesota or it could be Florida. And so I got to go through those clothes and find out now that we're getting into fall if I have appropriate wear.
I've been in that newsroom with you, and it's 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock. Ryan gets the call. gives you a high five on the way out, grabs his suitcase, and he is on a plane within a couple hours at the assignment. So you're very dedicated, and you're an awesome reporter, so we appreciate all you do.
Yeah, and I'll pack something in there so that you can, like a water filter.
You have like a fanny pack. You have all that stuff in there.
I have some survival gear.
You're going to have some Purell, Ryan, some duct tape.
Well, the Purell's from your bag.
Oh, that's true.
And duct tape will be from my bag. We have a go bag for Ryan when he goes. All right, Ryan, are people following you on Twitter with updates?
At Newsboro, I posted some pictures of the blank shelves of water and bread. So go ahead and take a look.
Follow him at Newsboro on Twitter. And, of course, follow him for updates here on WGN Radio. Ryan, be safe. Get some rest. Thank you for setting the alarm. We appreciate it. Oh,
no, you're good, Ryan. We'll let you go.
Yeah.
We'll talk to you later.
Thank you. Yeah, I've had family who my in-laws live in Charlottesville, North Carolina. Oh. And, of course, they're on high ground, so they're not worried about it. But they are, they're making sure they have supplies.
You got to be
like
concerned.
That.
Tom Skilling will join us briefly.
Oh, he will.
He's been going at this since 8 o'clock this morning, but he said, he said, I always have time for Patty and Andrea.
There you go.
Not quite in those words, but yes, he will join us after the 11 o'clock news.
Yeah, that's nice of him.
Just an update, because these wind speeds are just going crazy, Patty. Like Ryan just told us, 150 miles an hour right now.
Well, and I'm also curious about the geography. We were talking a little bit about Virginia and their ability to withstand this kind of rain and downpour if the weather front is going to just hover above them and just drench them. So I'm wondering what that's going to be like as well.
Oh, God.
Yeah,
but they're getting ready. They're batting down the hatches.
And we have from the 773, this is retired Navy Chief Pete here. Navy always gets ships out of port in a hurricane. More damage if it's left in port. It does suck for the families if they have to evacuate.
Wow. And that's interesting, too. What Ryan first told us is that they have these zones, like a know your zone kind of a thing. How much easier does that make it? Because think if we had something, Patty, like this in place for the Plainfield tornado. If you knew where it was coming or which blocks were being affected or which neighborhoods or subdivisions were being affected. These zones, now you can check either on your phone or online, and it'll say, yes, you need to evacuate, or no, you don't. So that makes it helpful, too.
It makes a lot of sense, because have you ever been driving, and especially if you're in an area you're not familiar with, with tornadoes in the Midwest, they'll tell you what county is in the path of the tornado, and I'm thinking, I don't know where that is.
I know, right?
You know, do I get under a viaduct? Do I lie in a ditch? I'm not sure what my situation is.
You know what? That's a great question, because I mean, I just go by the movie Twister,
right?
You know, with Helen Hunt. I'm like, okay, wait, they're not supposed to go in the barn. They're supposed to just lay outside the barn and then chain themselves together on the pipe.
That,
you know, I know that was a well, no, but it was Hollywood.
But. It was, but at the same time, I mean, I think about that stuff. I've traveled so many years by myself on the road and in dangerous weather that I probably should have,
driven through.
I started getting smarter. Once I had kids, that's when I started making better decisions when being on the road. We have Jeff on the line who wants to share something with us. Hi, Jeff. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good. I decided to bug out of Virginia. I was in Zone B. And so this would have been my first hurricane, but I said, I think I'm just going to get out of town.
Are you a trucker?
So I'm out. What?
Are you a trucker?
No. I'm actually a musician that plays down there. and I was supposed to have a show this week on the oceanfront on Thursday, but that got canceled. So
yeah, I would imagine. You were trying to hang in there, right? Hey, I'm an artist too. You know, it's feast or famine for us. So it's one of those.
Yeah, you
try to hang in there for as long as possible until they tell you there's no deal, huh?
Exactly. It'd been a great backdrop for a video, though. But you know,
all right, what kind of weather are you getting on the way back?
You know, actually, all week it's been pouring in Norfolk and Virginia Beach, so it's already at flood level stages there. And so, I mean, where I was living, I'm on the ground floor, and there's a retention pond behind us, and I was just like, that's going to flood, I mean, with all that rain. So, basically, I got out of there, but it's been raining on and off all week. So, and that's just the remnants from the Gulf hurricane.
Well, you be safe, Jeff. I'm glad that you decided to head home and take care of yourself. How much more driving you got left?
About an hour.
All right.
So that's not too bad.
We'll stay with us and you'll hear Skilling in just a moment,
right?
All right. Sounds good. Take care, guys.
Bye,
Jeff.
Be well. A monster storm is bearing down on the Carolinas. Hurricane Florence is a life-threatening hurricane that is strengthening as it comes towards the shore. And there's a lot of people, about 20 million people could be impacted by these storms.
Right. They said National Weather Service has just said now more than 5.4 million people are under hurricane watches or warnings on the East Coast, 4 million under a tropical storm watch in Carolina alone. And right now it's a Category 4 storm barreling toward the coast with an expected landfall tomorrow morning.
Right. And we're going to have to, Tom, in just a moment, if you heard him earlier on Ro Khan's show, he was talking a lot about how this is going to hover. And as Ryan mentioned, the expectation is that it's going to just continue to dump rain on an area that's obviously they're trying to prepare and put everything into place. I really am fascinated by this zone idea of teaching people, like, this is what to expect, you know, in a particular area, your neighborhood. And I wonder how much people are coming out and working together. I'm guessing that if you know your neighbor needs, you know, some more sandbags, or if they need, you know, some wood to board up their windows and things like that, this is when, you know, you really do rely on your neighbors to make sure they help each other.
Absolutely. You're referring to the Know Your Zone campaign, and this was the detailed map forecasting block by block, neighborhood by neighborhood areas. How about that? That'll have to be evacuated in case it hits. So Ryan was interviewing people and he said, oh no, we're in zone A, we're good. And then others he was interviewing, no, we're in zone B, now they're calling for evacuation orders in that one. And that goal, as Ryan said, is to prevent congestion and lessen unnecessary overcrowding at all of the storm shelters.
This is incredible.
Yeah.
And again, this is a storm of massive magnitude. There is there's the projected dumping of 20 to 30 inches of rain in parts of North Carolina. I'm not sure how much and how much time.
Oh, there it is.
Hey, Tom.
Oh, guys. Yeah.
Hey.
You know, I was just trying to think, how am I going to tell you? I finally gotten done with everything here.
That's all right. All no, right. We know you're so busy. We're grateful for any time you can spare with us.
I'm so thrilled that you asked. Boy, I'll tell you, we couldn't have a more interesting night. That's for sure. I just wanted to read you something. Let's see. What did I do with it here?
Of course.
Bill Snyder just came in with something that has just been issued out of the National Weather Service, Wilmington, North Carolina, National Weather Service office, and it reads as follows, quote, this will likely be the storm of a lifetime for portions of the Carolina coast, and that's saying a lot given the impacts we've seen from hurricanes Diana, Hugo, Fran, Bonnie, Floyd, and Matthew. I can't emphasize enough, says the forecaster there, the potential for unbelievable damage from wind, storm surge, and inland flooding with this storm. This sounds like the sort of cries to the public to heed the warnings and get out of these low barrier islands that are going to go underwater if this storm surge verifies, that we've seen in other storms in the past. And I can't help but think about how, you know, there are always some stragglers who decide they're not going to leave, and then they get these frantic phone calls after the storm has commenced and the area is totally cut off by floodwaters and storm surge, asking to be rescued, and there's not a prayer of a chance that anybody can get out to them and rescue them. So one hopes that, particularly in North Carolina and perhaps even parts of South Carolina, they're taking this very seriously, because this storm is quite interesting. You know, there's a paper that came out last year about the fact that these tropical cyclones, which is what we call hurricanes, typhoons, tropical storms, they're all categorized as tropical cyclones. These are slowing down as a result of climate change, because what happens is the steering winds are letting up and the atmosphere is warming, therefore holding more water vapor. So the result of that is these storms linger over an area longer, and we saw that with Harvey last year in Houston, which unloaded, you know, 35 trillion tons, gallons of water and 50 inches of rain. There were even some places in eastern Texas that got 62, 63 inches of rain. That had never happened in the course of recorded history here in the continental United States with a tropical cyclone. So these storms are getting wetter, they're slowing down, and this one is going to have an upper wind field that collapses about the time it makes landfall. And so that means there are a lot of questions about what this is going to do, but the alternatives, no matter what they are not good. It means a period of prolonged and perhaps historic raining in the hard-hit areas. And then the continental shelf is kind of interesting in that part of the United States. It goes out about 150 miles, and the water is relatively shallow in that area, no more than 124 feet deep. And so what happens is, as these storms come in, there are winds blowing toward the shoreline, pile the water up over this shallow basin, and you get some incredible storm surges. And history has confirmed that. There have only been three storms of this strength, a Cat 4, that have made landfall from South Carolina northward. There have only been 24 total since 1870 or 1851, which is as far back as our hurricane records go. Only three storms of this, 24 storms of this strength that have made landfall in the United States.
Those numbers are incredible, Tom. I heard you say the last time the midsection of the East Coast stared down a hurricane like this, that Eisenhower was in the White House.
Wow.
Why? I know this is probably a very silly question, Tom, but why are they getting stronger?
Well, you know what? The oceans are warming. And this is the big problem. See, the hurricanes are unique storms. Storms in our part of the world are the product of cold air juxtaposition with warm air, and that creates jet streams that produce the vertical motions that drop air pressure at the surface and put the storm together. In the tropics, you don't have a jet stream because there's no cool air to contrast with the warm air. What you work with a hurricane is what's called latent heat energy, and that's the energy that comes from evaporating and condensing seawater. When you get out of a bathtub, you feel cold until you grab a towel and dry yourself off. What's happening is the evaporation of water from your skin is leaching latent heat energy out of your skin. And that vapor that comes into goes into the atmosphere will retain that heat, that latent heat, until it recondenses again into a cloud or whatever, and then it releases that latent heat. And it's that energy that tropical storms and tropical cyclones and hurricanes and typhoons work with. And the amount of energy that's released is stunning from those storms because of the disproportionate amount of heat that falls on the tropics. And that's one of the hurricanes and tropical storms' functions in nature, is to help redistribute the disproportionate amount of heat that falls on the tropics elsewhere on the planet.
Huh.
So there's a function to it, and there are also regions of the world that depend on the rains of a tropical cyclone.
Well, I guess they're all in for it, because I didn't realize there were actually four powerful storms that you can see from the satellites today alone.
Yeah, there are three named ones, and there's one they're watching that's come off the Yucatan, and some of the models are developing an interesting-looking system that goes toward the Texas coast. The Gulf of Mexico is totally shear-free, which is why this storm has taken off, because there's no wind shear aloft.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, is it
because I have family in Florida, in that area, in the Pensacola area.
Yeah. And, you know, for a couple of days earlier in the week, Andrea, this thing was sheared, and it went from a Cat 3 hurricane down to a tropical storm. It is one of the ironies of a tropical storm and a hurricane that the strongest windstorm on Earth requires a calm environment in which to get its act together. And if you introduce winds above it, they start hacking away at its thunderstorms and creating disorganization that tears the storm apart. So that's what happened for a couple of days earlier in the week out in the Atlantic. But then it moved into an area where the water is warm, and it's deep warm, so that when the winds of the storm go blow across the ocean surface, if the water isn't through a thick layer, the warm water, then you churn up cooler water, and the storm can sap some of its energy that way.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got a deep layer of warm water, the way we do, and that's measured anymore by satellites and all, we call that ocean heat content that we look at. And there's plenty of ocean heat content. This thing has yet to pass over the Gulf Stream, which is the ultimate source of heat energy.
I can imagine.
So,
we're going to keep watching it with you, Tom. I know you've been going at this since 8 o'clock. We really appreciate you being with us, Tom.
This was
guys,
very generous of you.
Good to talk to you. I'll tell you, not at all. I get to the point sometimes at the end of the day, I can't remember even my own name.
Right.
I just, you know.
You're the best in the biz.
Oh, Andrea, so are you guys. I'll tell you, it's such a pleasure to work with such wonderful people.
Well, I'm jealous of Rokan, because we only get to talk to you when it's going to be nasty weather.
Yeah,
I know.
I got to talk to you on a sunny day.
I know.
Sunny, beautiful day.
I've got to, got to break the stranglehold there, you know.
Absolutely.
Row is great.
Yeah, and so are you.
I love working
with
you.
We love you, Tom. We'll get some sleep, and we'll check in with you perhaps later in the week.
Yeah, okay. We're not done with this one yet. This is going to be in the news for a while.
Take a nap, will you?
All right. Thanks, guys. Good to talk to you.
Bye-bye, Tom.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
Bye, Andrea. Bye, guys.
Thank you for lining that up, Andrea. That was excellent. Of course, check in with Tom Skilling. And since we were having trouble with the tech issues, someone from the 670, because I couldn't get Tom up, they were like, be careful, Tom freaking Skilling can have you.
That's right. You can have us killed.
That's right. Be careful. We are going to share some stories and really, I think, some audio, a documentary I encourage you all to check out is called Voices from the Tower. You can actually just pull it up on YouTube. We're going to play a few clips of that and discuss our thoughts about 9/11, what it means to you, what your memories are at 312-981-7200. Anything you want to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. This is your conversation. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis on 720 WGN. I looked up and I'm thinking, is that Max? Is it the Max Armstrong?
Hello, you two.
Rascal! what are you doing, Maxie?
Good morning from North Carolina.
Good morning, Max.
Batten down the hatches, Max. I don't know if you know, there's a storm coming your way.
Yeah, no kidding. I just pulled into the convenience station right off the edge of the airport, the convenience store there, and all of the gas pumps are covered with baggies. And then the tanker rolled in. Oh. I said to that guy, I said, you better have an armed guard.
No kidding. Are you visiting? Are you visiting down there?
No, we live just about 13 miles south of the North Carolina Capitol building. And I just flew home from Midway Airport to North Carolina tonight.
Wow. And you made it. You obviously made it there. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was concerned about it, you know, because last time there was a hurricane down here, the airline started canceling flights in advance. They didn't want to have the plane stranded, obviously, down in the hurricane area. So I'm sure they'll be doing that to some extent in another 24 hours or so. And they already, I didn't look out on the schedules, but I wanted to make sure I got home to help prepare. It looks like this thing is taking a little bit of a southern shift from the path earlier today. I mean, they were talking about feet of water perhaps being dumped right on top of us here in the Raleigh area, and we're about 120 miles from the coast.
What are your thoughts on how that area is going to weather the flooding that might be obviously following this huge storm?
Well, you know, we don't know. I mean, the last hurricane, this is the second one I will have experienced. And the one we had 2 years ago, Matthew, we took in about 10 inches of rain.
Wow.
And handled pretty well on our property. But, you know, one thing that I've really come to appreciate after living down here for about 4 years is our drainage in the Midwest is so crucial. And generally speaking, it's pretty doggone good. With the exception, you know, we have some of those problems, the Des Plaines River, you know, the Kankakee River in the Midwest because of the, simply because we've covered over so much in the metropolitan area, there's nowhere for the water to percolate in many instances. We've got concrete and asphalt. But down here, there are so many hills and gullies and valleys, and you can get into standing water before you know it. I hydroplaned down here on the interstate back in May one morning, right after I'd been listening to Nick on my way to the airport.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, it's the water can be a real challenge. There's no doubt about it. What is really interesting, some of my farmer friends down here, the corn harvest has been going on for a few days, and some of the guys that I know who farm over near the coast have been running 24 hours trying to get the crop out, every bit of it out as soon as they can before the storm moves in. Hurricane damage, you know, for farmers is so cruel because it's almost the time, you know, Patty and Andrea, that you've got the crop in the bin. And then wham, here comes the storm.
Did you hear, Max, we had Ryan Burrow, he just flew to Virginia, and he said what they're doing there is pretty unique this time. They're really getting ahead of the storm by giving out, I guess, predetermining zones for many of the neighborhoods. And it's so pinpoint accurate, Max, that they have subdivision blocks and actual streets that they're zoned so they know when to evacuate, where to go. I mean, they've really gotten ahead of this storm.
I would like to think that North Carolina is that sophisticated. The reality is, I don't think we are out here. I think they just haven't really taken it that far yet. Now, you know, I'm just speaking from my experience with Matthew a couple of years ago and what I've been watching closely in the development here. But, you know, it's And I will also tell you, you know, as and we take, I say we, I mean those of us from the Midwest region, take our radio station, RWGN, for granted. And folks should not, because it's a magnificent tool in an emergency situation like this. And I will be honest with you, it just ain't so good down here. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm comparing it to the tremendous media that we have in Chicago, of course, and the ability to follow the story and convey the story, especially in times like these.
Wow. It's incredible, too, and I'm so glad to hear from you. And Michael was telling me that you wanted to also share your thoughts and memories about 9/11 and being on the air.
Well, you know, I was in the station that morning. I was back and back in those days, and of course, Andrea and Patty, you might remember it in the old station. If you wandered way back through the station, back through sales and traffic, you got to where Orion and I had our office.
Yeah, way in the back. And, your little complex back there.
Yeah, it was wonderful because generally nobody could find you back there.
Right.
You know, Spike would come back there and hide sometimes, you know, because people wouldn't wander back there too much. Well, I had a magnificent floor-to-ceiling window that overlooked the parking lot. And what I remember so vividly about that morning was as I looked down on Lower Illinois, there was this reverse commute. I mean, it was a mass exodus, as you'll recall, Andrea. At 10 o'clock, 9:30 in the morning, people who had just arrived for work that morning were headed home.
We're going home. Yeah, when I was coming into the city, I think I was one of the only cars on Lakeshore Drive heading southbound to come into the station.
Yeah, exactly. It was a little bit reminiscent of that morning we had the underground flood back in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yes.
When and you know, Michigan Avenue at 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning was like a ghost town. And really, that was very much the way it was. And we were all watching the sky. As you guys pointed out just a few minutes ago, we were wondering what might be coming into the Chicago skyline. And so I was looking down on Upper Illinois, the people driving out, and I was looking up in the sky toward the lake, just pondering what might be headed our direction.
Because none of it, like I said before, none of it felt real.
No.
It was hard to really even,
wrap
my mind.
Yeah,
wrap my mind around
happening.
It.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And everybody remembers, and this has been interesting, too. As your caller just a few minutes ago before the news referenced listening to Spike and hearing Tom Peterson.
Remember that?
And several people, and if you look over the social media today, the commentary has time after time referenced listening to Spike and Tom that morning. And it was just etched in their minds where they were and how they got the news and who delivered it to them.
Right. Very true.
Yeah, it was, how long were you at the station that day? You might have already said that, but I just want to...
That's a good question. I'm not sure when I did leave that morning.
I think you were there a lot. I think you were there through most of the afternoon, too.
Because I don't know if you guys remember what it was like driving or going anywhere. Everyone was moving in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone was listening to the radio. If they did get in their cars, like, the only thing we could do, we were like, we got to eat. So we went to Burger King, of all places. Mm-hmm. We didn't know what else to do with ourselves.
Right.
But we were just rolling down Milwaukee Avenue. And everyone just, it was in slow motion.
It was. It's absolutely the world changed.
My wife sent me a picture this morning that she took just south of Raleigh on Interstate 40. Now, that's a major corridor to the coast. And coming westbound on 40, it was bumper to bumper.
Wow.
This was like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was kind of reminiscent of a Sunday night coming back from Labor Day weekend, or you know, Monday night coming back from Labor Day weekend, because it's jammed coming from the coast end. She pulled into the McDonald's and she said there were families that appeared to have every possession they had jammed into vans, jammed into their cars, headed somewhere, maybe to visit family in Virginia or elsewhere in North Carolina. But the mass exodus was very, very visible, and it's kind of reminiscent of what we saw in the tragedy 17 years ago.
Yeah, in fact, when we talked to Ryan, Max, he said he got there this afternoon. He's in Virginia, and he went to a couple of the stores. He said the stores are like, you know, it's like a ghost town as far as what's on the shelves. The bread was gone, the duct tape was gone. All the supplies are just, you know, they're buying the stores out down there.
Yeah, absolutely. I left town yesterday morning. I went to the, was it yesterday? No. This is Wednesday, isn't it?
I know. We do the same thing, Max.
Yep.
I left town Monday morning. I flew out of Raleigh, and already over the weekend, you know, they were talking about it. So I started stockpiling stuff and made sure I had my batteries and started putting batteries on charge. One thing we did a couple of years ago, we bought an auxiliary generator. And a lot of my farmer friends, of course, in the Midwest have them. But we decided down here, you know, and again, I know you guys are going to laugh at this, but Commonwealth Edison, the reliability of that utility in the Midwest is something, again, Chicagoans take for granted and shouldn't, because you get into other parts of the country and power outages quite often are unfortunately too common. And part of that is the lay of the land down here. You know, you've got so many trees hanging over the power lines. When you get into that, we're in what they call the Piedmont region. We're in the least pretty part of North Carolina. I mean, you go, you know, 2 hours to the east and you're at the coast, and 3 hours to the west, you're in the mountains. This is the boring part. But there are a lot of power lines that are under trees down here. There's so many trees. And so, you know, we had so many outages, and we finally did get an auxiliary generator. And that's one thing that gives me a little bit of peace of mind as this thing closes in on us.
And I would hope that a lot of your neighbors and people in the area have planned ahead, too, because that'll make the difference, won't it?
Well, you know, it's a real interesting question that you asked. I mean, anybody who's been here for years and for decades, yeah, they know exactly what to expect. But the influx into this region, the growth in this state, I mean, if you look at the top five states of the country for increasing population, North Carolina is right on that list.
Yes. Yep.
And so many of these folks, you know, really haven't experienced this before. They don't know what to expect. And, you know, they may be shrugging their shoulders, saying, yeah, that's fine. Well, my son-in-law, who grew up in Raleigh, remembers the hurricane back in the early 90s when they were without power for 3 weeks. And he's been reaching out to me constantly saying, yeah, this is for real. You know,
this is, this is it. It's coming. Will you be safe?
They always lecture me as a Yankee, saying, hey, pal, you got to get used to this.
That, as a Yankee, that's cute. And by the way, Max, I love looking at your Facebook page. How many grandkids, how many grandbabies do you have now?
Oh, just two.
Maddie and Ellie.
Maddie and Ellie, yep.
Oh, my God. They're as cute as can be.
I'm trying to see.
Thank you. Well, we have a lot of fun. And of course, we live 7 miles from them, so that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Wonderful.
Out,
no, I'm. Oh, she's
listen
so cute.
You, look at those
I'll
eyes.
I listen to you guys all the time. I really enjoy listening to you. And when I'm up in the region, I listen. You know, I'm in the Chicago area just about every week. And, you know, you guys just continue to do great radio.
Well, stop by anytime, by the way, or give us a call. You know, you don't have to be quiet. You don't have to just listen. You can chime in.
We love you, Max.
Yeah.
Appreciate you guys so much. Take care.
You're the best.
Thank you.
Walk of Famer Max Armstrong.
I know.
Oh, he's the best.
And you can follow his story on Facebook, as Andrea mentioned. And he's keeping people updated about his journey down to North Carolina, as well as his memories of 9/11 that he posted. Let's take a break here. We're going to get to that audio from the documentary Voices from the Tower, which is available. You can just watch it on YouTube. But I want to share a couple of the recordings and thoughts of family members who share their stories from 9/11.